Unsolved Mysteries Rewind is a commercial-free podcast that focuses on cases featured on the television show Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. Each episode features a single case and, if possible, updates and an expansion on the original story. Listener discretion is advised for listeners who are sensitive to true crime details.
Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, two friends get together to discuss episodes of their favorite television show, Unsolved Mysteries. Will they find answers? Will anyone care? You may be able to solve a mystery.
Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. I have on tonight Laura. How are you doing, Laura?
Pretty well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. I'm excited to discuss this particular episode for a variety of reasons, but you told me that this was one of the first segments that you saw from Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes. Back then, I didn't actually know what show I was watching because I think I came into it halfway through.
Right.
But I was really young, and I just remember feeling a little bit freaked out, but somehow obviously still intrigued. And this case just stuck with me.
Yeah. So the episode, the segment that we're going to be discussing is about Devin Williams. And is the unusual disappearance of Devin Williams, is that what they called it? Or is that just,
that's your heading?
That's
my own heading.
All right.
But, because it is unusual, but also sure. I think what they called it in the segment was missing trucker.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That sums it up pretty much. But I thought, well, I'm going to change it and put my own spin on it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So this takes place, again, here in the States, in the Tonto National Forest in Arizona, which I think is just called the Arizona Forest, personally.
I believe you.
And it takes place on May 28th, 1995. And do you want to go into the basis of the story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So Devin Williams was a truck driver. He was born April 23rd, 1966. So he was about 29 when this all occurred. A married man with three children. And he was, a stocky guy, brown hair and eyes, a couple of earrings in the left ear, a few tattoos.
Well, it was the 90s,
Yeah, and, typical trucker look, and he had a Fu Man-style moustache at the time he was last seen.
Do you know the Fu Manchu style? Are you familiar with that?
I can see in the photo that I'm assuming it's one that goes across under the nose and all the way down to the beard.
It's also a very 90s look. It's like that grunge type of goatee type of thing. But his was a little bit more pointy.
Yeah, his was a bit different. But you can totally tell it's a trucker look. It's a 90s trucker look, not to be stereotypical. But
no trucker hat. He's wearing a cowboy hat in the photo that we
at. He's wearing a cowboy hat. He sure is. But his family looks lovely and, he seems to be a family man.
Mm-hmm.
So this segment on Unsolved Mysteries was on Season 8, Episode 19, and it first aired March 15th, 1996. So about 10 months after the date that Devin went missing.
Yeah, I'm always amazed by this because we look back now, right? And we're like, oh, well, this is, 20 some odd years ago. And back then, it was breaking news in a lot of ways.
Oh, yes. The weird situation, knowing his backstory and his personality and then trying to match it with him suddenly disappearing is it's almost like you some people with what's going on in their life and what their personality makes up, you can kind of understand that disappearing may not seem so far-fetched. But with Devin, what we learned or what people had said, it just didn't fit his character to just fall off the face of the earth.
Right. And this also happened to be on Memorial Day weekend, which is kind of a big deal here in the States. People have, it's kind of like the beginning of the summer type of thing.
Right. Because I don't think we have that here from memory.
Yeah. And, you know, Memorial Day is also, it's a U.S. holiday happening.
Yeah.
And it's coming up now. I mean, we're about a month away and there'll be street fairs and all types of things in around here.
It must be like Anzac Day here because we've just celebrated Anzac Day.
Yeah, which I read about that, about the about New Zealand and Australia's
The Gallipoli
military
landings,
yeah. Right?
Yeah, when they landed in Gallipoli. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and we actually had a couple of men
from my
own.
That was just a few days ago, like maybe a week ago, right?
Actually, it was 2 days ago. Mm.
Yeah. There you go. Or three for me, maybe.
We actually had a couple of men from my small town of Wandjeri Hill, where I'm from, that actually went to war and didn't come back, which is unfortunate. Oh, so every year we celebrate them. We've got like a statue in the middle of the square there. So, yeah. It's a very
important thing, you know.
Yeah, it's very traditional. So, yeah, but, everyone's different holidays.
Now, I remember this particular segment mostly because of the reenactment. Now, you said you were a little bit freaked out by this, but we see a huge tractor-trailer truck going through the woods. They call it the forest, but I think it's really the woods. And
yeah.
When I think of forest, I think of like Africa jungles and everything. I think they even refer to this as the jungle at some point. I'm pretty sure that Stack refers to it as that. But so, yeah, we see a truck. I mean, so it's kind of interesting that in the reenactment, they actually got a truck to go, you know, in this kind of strange area. And it just looks so out of place, right?
And it seemed to be going really fast. And with the amount of trees in the woods, it'd be the last thing you would expect to see. And it just, I don't know, the honking and the fact it was going so fast and, you know, all you hear is silence and people are just quietly camping. And the next thing you hear this roar from this truck, it'd be like an explosion.
Yeah. And there's one part of the reenactment where this guy's going reverse and I guess as fast as he could. And yeah, I mean, it's horrible. I mean, I've driven next to trucks like this and it's scary just driving next to some of these guys.
And it was a big, big truck. It said it's a 48-foot, 10-ton, 18-wheel semi truck. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's coming towards me, I would reverse too.
Right. Or you pull off to the side of the road. I don't know why he didn't do that. But nonetheless, I guess you're not thinking. You're like, I'm going to get completely crushed by this thing.
Yeah. And what the two people in the car that was reversing when the truck was going towards them, what they also stated was that when they finally got out of its path, the truck driver himself didn't look concerned, didn't look down to see if they needed help, didn't even acknowledge them in any way. He just looked dazed.
Right. I mean, that's just as disturbing as the truck being there physically, right? Just the person and, you know, not really paying any attention. We learned that there are campers there. And I have to wonder, are these campers just... are they camping there for the weekend? Like, are they literally set up with tents or maybe RVs or something? It's probably normally very quiet. And to just have this disruption is kind of really insane.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume on Memorial Day, if it's a nice area, you know, people would go for picnics and maybe camp overnight if it's a long weekend. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean... what a way to spoil a weekend.
And a lot of people saw it. You know, a lot of people knows, and the guy was going back and forth several times, which I just...
yeah, like, he could have injured so many people. He, you know, he could have... and again, he just didn't really notice. It just seemed like he was just... it seemed like he thought he was on the freeway or obviously not in the woods, but... Yeah, it was just very, very strange. But, yeah, so a lot of people did sort of witness... the behavior, and they just thought it was very, very strange. And later the same day, people came upon the truck, but it was now stationary in a field.
Yeah, and with the way Robert Stack is standing there with the truck behind him, in the reenactment, I don't know. There was something. I mean, it's so out of place. I know one of the officers said that later, that when he was called to check in on it, he just thought that it was a sight to see, seeing this.
Yeah, just very bizarre. But I have to say, I do love when Stack talks to the camera and he's in either like a police department or mm-hmm. he's, you know, in a field with a truck behind him. It's totally 90s. I love it.
Yeah, yes, yes.
It just adds to the allure of Unsolved Mysteries, in my opinion.
It's like, how do you get there, buddy? You know, it's like the whole reenactment aspect of it is really fun to watch. But it's like, you know, tragic stories. But these little things, they just kind of add a little bit of pleasure to it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I think Robert Stack teleports there. I think it's incredible. May he rest.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so they were. Now that the truck is stationary, they speak to a man that they believe was the driver, and they're calling out to him. And he's basically saying, quote, "They made me do it," you know, and that whole thing was weird. In the reenactment, he seems to be kind of babbling.
Saying that
no one can help him. I'll never get out of here. I'm going to jail. You know, it's kind of scary, right? I mean, and I think what was said there was they were wondering if it was a hostage situation.
Well, I would probably assume the same. I would suddenly think, what's going on with this man? Am I in danger?
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone that has a gun on him, you know, inside the truck? I think he, in the reenactment, he was actually standing outside the truck. Yes. And it would be, you would just wonder, you go, something is going on. Number one, the truck is there, which is a sight within itself. But then when you see a man going, I can't get out of here. No one can help me. I'm going to jail. They made me do it. Especially they made me do it. That would really be alarming to me. So they wondered whether it was a kidnapping or a hijacking situation. The man that questioned the driver noted that the man himself made no effort to keep them there or ask for help because he obviously was clearly dazed. And I did say something, and you've actually pointed out a good point, which I forgot because it is the 90s.
Yeah.
If I'd witnessed this, I would have called, obviously, 911 immediately and tried to keep my eye on the man from a safe place until police or ambulance arrived. But you pointed out, which I should have thought of, no cell phones in those days and not likely many pay phones, especially in the woods, which you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, you would imagine that there would be some troopers around, which is what they might have done. They might have been able to flag down a ranger, like a park ranger.
Yeah, and there could have been a payphone maybe at the start of the forest, or maybe there's a visitor center or something, or I don't know, something like that. But yeah, there wouldn't be many just in the middle of a field.
But they did report, you know, later in the afternoon, Deputy Dean Wells followed up and he came up, and that's where he says it was really a sight to see when he pulled up. The truck had been stuck in the mud. But he went in, he checked it out, and he noticed that the refrigeration unit was still running and that there didn't seem to be any foul play. He said that the inside of the truck looked good. The truck was full of lettuce and strawberries that was refrigerated, and it seemed to be intact and undisturbed. Very strange.
Yeah. However, they did say that the cab itself was locked, which is interesting, and the man that the witness had questioned earlier had vanished. I did wonder, I wish that I had at least seen, like, I would love to have seen a police report from that Deputy Dean Wells. Maybe it would have included some more information about the truck itself. I mean, I know he just had an overview. He didn't obviously go and examine the truck in close, you know, he's not a mechanic. Yeah, it would be, were there any more clues found? Did he search under it? Did he search anywhere around it? Was there any, I suppose that would have been searched later on, but I would love to see the report just to see if there was anything else that was missed. Because sometimes you need a fresh pair of eyes.
I don't think that Unsolved Mysteries mentioned that it was stuck in the mud, though.
No, I got this from, I believe it was a podcast, it was either a podcast or another article I read that wrote that it had gone up and down the woods several times, and the only reason it had stopped is because it appeared that it was stuck in the mud.
Yeah, I just couldn't find that anywhere else, though. So I'm just hoping that it's, you know, that it's correct. But I'm sure it is. It would make sense. That would be the only reason why somebody would stop. You know, like if you're having this, in my opinion, a bit of a breakdown.
Yeah, unless the truck itself actually broke down, which, like we said, there appeared to be no problems with it because everything was still running. So, but I just think the whole thing is very strange. I mean, Deputy Dean Wells is absolutely correct when he says it's so weird. I mean, everything was undisturbed, but what is interesting to me is the cab was locked. So if the person the witnesses had seemed disorientated, would he have enough sense to lock the cab before he disappeared?
Or maybe he accidentally locked it.
Could be. It could be out of habit. Something in his mind, part of his mind was still, you know, I suppose, working, was still of sound mind.
I wonder if there's any, like, security features on this that the truck would automatically lock after a certain amount of time.
Could do. Would it have done so in the 90s? Would there have been that sort of...
Yeah, I mean, I had a car in the 90s that had a push, you know, auto locks. But I just wonder if... Because trucks are, you know, they're hijacked. So I wonder, like, if you close the door, maybe there was a timer where it just automatically locks.
Yeah, that's very true.
I don't know why they wouldn't be able to break into the truck, though. I mean, that's one thing.
You know what? I'm sure they did. I'm sure later on when they figured out... I mean, didn't even say what even happened to the truck.
Right.
I
would have loved to have seen that. Like, they would have had to get a tow truck in there to pull it out, like one of those big tow trucks.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been interesting.
You would have hoped that they would have, you know, mechanic would have looked it over and would have seen if there was anything else possibly wrong. But again, nothing like that was mentioned. But well,
I loved when they said that the deputy checked the national crime computer. It's like, bloop, bloop, bloop. I checked with the National Crime Computer. I just have to wonder, like, it's so weird to me. It's so old style.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of those places where Robert Stack is seen talking to the camera.
Right.
He suddenly ends up in the police room.
I'm in the National Crime Computer Center.
With all these computers with the blue screens.
Right, and there's like keyboards everywhere, little tiny blue screens.
memories.
It's so funny. But yeah, so they checked in and they found that there was no report of either a missing truck or a missing driver at the time. Well,
and
obviously, you know, it was not up to date. Because
yeah, that's quite common, though. I mean, don't they have to be missing for a certain amount of time? They would figure Devin was still on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of his loads was running late.
There was no GPS. There was no tracking. And that kind of gets me later. Because we also, one of the things that comes up is like, well, clearly he was on drugs. And that's very possible. That's definitely one of my theories. But we learned that Devin would get drug tested. But I'm just like, why? Like, why were they testing for drugs back in the 90s?
Yeah, I honestly don't.
I don't know. I would think that it would be far more lenient back then.
I'm sure in some business, like some, you know, kind of work, they were lenient, you know, in certain areas of professions, but maybe they had some really bad past experiences with other truckers, maybe just with that company. And they thought, well, everybody from now on, we're just going to drug test.
But I think that would be a bigger deal. It's kind of unconstitutional to just be like, all right, everybody's getting drug tested. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be unconstitutional. It doesn't seem very much like the world I live in back in 1995.
Yes. If any of our listeners know anybody who was a truck driver in the 90s, let us know.
Yeah, definitely. But the next day, a full day later, at around 4 p.m., two people see the driver again.
Yes.
And they go up to him. I love the way you write some of these things. Like, you came upon the man, you know.
Thanks.
No, it's very specific. I think there's a lot of, I guess, Australia-isms in your writing. But the way they reenacted it, it was very kind of creepy. He was like kneeling on the ground and staring at the tree. Do you want to talk about what he was doing? Because I just, it's bizarre.
He was a very good actor, first of all, but you've got to assume that he was acting the way the man actually was acting in real life. So it is kind of creepy, but he obviously looked, the man looked a lot more disheveled than the day before, because this is nearly 24 hours later. They saw his mouth moving and they heard sounds like he was mumbling, but they couldn't actually make out what he was saying because they were a little bit away away. But he kept staring at the tree, and when one of the witnesses asked the man if he needed help, his only response was, "I've got to light the grill," which is strange. But they noticed that he had a $20 bill in his hand. He was hitting it with a rock as if he was trying to start a fire. And in front of him was a flat rock. And they looked around, but they didn't see anything that he could be grilling. The man had nothing else with him, just the $20 note and the rock. And the couple then decided to leave when the man suddenly threw something at their car. And they were the last ones to see the confused man.
And in the reenactment, we're using the real person who saw him.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely gives, you know, makes it legit. But yeah, it was just very, very strange behavior. And I don't know in that situation what you would do. I mean, if someone throws something at you, that's obviously they're starting to get irrational.
Right. I mean, personally, I would probably get away from the person, especially if I know, because they're identifying him from the crazy guy in the truck. Mm. The guy's unhinged. You have to get away from this.
Yeah,
it's not safe to. It's not like safe to go, "What are you throwing? Come on, you want to fight?" You know, I'm not fighting.
Yeah, or even go up to them or anything. It's just you don't know if you don't even know. I'm just saying, if he has a knife on him, so if you get close to him, he's going to see it as a threat.
Anything, you know, he who knows what this guy has. One thing we know he doesn't have is survival tools. Like, he doesn't have, I mean, there could be local water, I guess, but he doesn't have food.
And he doesn't have a pocket knife. He doesn't have anything to start a fire except, obviously, what he thinks is going to start a fire,
a $20 bill. Rock. Yeah, it's going to take a lot more than $20, I guess. The same day, a long-distance trucker named Devin Williams turned up missing. I guess the national crime computer went bloop, bloop, bloop.
And bing.
Yeah, and this is what's strange is, you look at the photo of him, how old does he look to you?
To me, he looks about 10 years older, about 38, 39.
10 years older, yeah, I'd say that, like 40. I'll just say 40. And yeah, he's 29 years old. When I look at him, I see it as somebody who's lived a tough life, a hard life. Maybe he's a hard drinker, partier, something. He didn't take care of himself, and he just didn't look 29 to me.
I mean, he would have been a young dad, because by the looks of it, his oldest son, his oldest child, looks to be about 9 or 10. So, you know, he could have been 19 or 20 when he had, you know, I mean, sure, it doesn't really matter. But also, I found another inconsistency in the segment, that I found another source that said he was actually 28, not 29, and then another source that said he was only 27. So I'm not actually sure. But we have a date of birth, so we know how old he is.
Yes.
Unless his birth is wrong. But right. I just don't understand why they change those little things. I mean, what difference does it make how old he was?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, it really doesn't.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, I pretend I'm 20. Who cares?
No one knows. Sure, as long as you can get away with it, that's all that counts.
Maybe not 20. Maybe 27.
but people identified, they saw photographs of the missing person. They said, that's the guy with the $20 bill.
Yep. And he was, as we said, you mentioned a hard-living 29-year-old poor thing. I guess if you're a trucker, you probably age about 10 years.
Probably.
So that's right.
Yeah.
He's a husband to wife Mary Lou and a father of three, which looks from the photo to be two girls and a boy. He worked for Flint Hill Transportation Company in Emporia, Kansas.
Apparently they do drug testing, I guess.
A lot of it. So, they probably,
I don't know how often. Well, I mean, now that I think about it, so my first job, like my first corporate job, I had to like do some insurance thing, and I did have to get a urine test to make sure I wasn't on drugs.
But was that the
was it only once?
Yeah, once.
And it was an insurance thing.
And if they said that he'd passed every single test, you
and
would
I was
assume...
high, as high as a kite. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. It was someone else's pee.
I walked in smoking pot. No, yeah, I smuggled in some other person's pee.
Well, have you said, off the record a little bit, have you seen the Seinfeld episode where Elaine eats poppy seeds and gets tested positive for opium, and so she gets Seinfeld's mother's urine, and she's got osteoporosis? The bones of a 65-year-old.
Yes, I do remember that. I remember, I forget what his name is, but he's like firing her at the end. You got that monkey on your back.
There goes my idea of trying to get away with smoking meth. Jeez.
It's so funny.
Just kidding. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding.
You only get these type of, this banter here. The crossover Australian New York banter. So this brings us to... I mean, he just kind of vanishes. I mean, he's gone at this point.
Mm. And right? I mean, it's completely off the grid. No idea. Obviously, you said, and you're right, that people matched his picture with the person that they saw in the woods with the truck. And now, this is a pretty broad statement, but they say by all accounts, he was not the type to dump a fully loaded rig in the middle of a forest. Now, what kind of type do you have to be to do that?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of true. I guess that would be double drug testing for if you've done that. But yeah, I mean, I guess they're saying that he's not a, he's a reliable person. And
yeah, he's not impulsive.
And I was pointing out that, you know, truckers, at least these days, I believe that they get paid more if they could deliver early.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I don't know for total sure, but why else are they rushing? You know, why else are they driving like 100 miles per hour down the road trying to stay on time? I guess maybe also the more they can drop, the more they can do. So time is money type of thing.
Shorter period of time, yeah. And you know, I suppose if you're doing long hours on the road, you kind of just want it to be over with.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get home, whether you got a family or not. You want to get to sleep. You want to, I mean, no one really wants to work unless they who wants to work really? We'd rather just get back to not doing anything. But, you know, it is the way it is. But, so the mystery had a starting point, so they say. On May 23rd, 1995, Devin left his home in, now I'm going to say this right, Americus, Kansas.
I never heard of it, but it sounds good to me.
Yes, we'll go with that. And it was a route that he'd taken many times. He delivered his load in California on schedule, picked up new loads, and checked in with his boss, Tom Wilson. Tom later recalled that, you know, everything seemed normal with the conversation. He didn't think Dev, you know, appeared to be in any trouble. Mm-hmm. It was a normal trip and that he was running on time. So 4 days later, May 27th, Devin stopped at Kingman, Arizona. From there, he phoned his boss for the last time. He did mention, which wasn't mentioned in the segment, but in an article that I read, it mentioned that Devin had said he's not got any sleep since the start of the trip, and he was determined to get back on the road. So I guess that's another reason why he wanted to finish the trip so he could go to sleep. He was supposed to arrive in Kansas City, Missouri on Monday morning, but by Sunday morning, which is just, 12 hours after that, so May 28th, he was off the map and driving through the woods with the huge truck. And to this day, no one knows why.
Do you think you could handle driving, not driving a truck, but being in a truck for so long?
No. I would find it... But then again, I'm not a very patient person, so, and I'm willing to admit that. But I mean, I guess if I've got a purpose, if I'm getting paid, I will obviously do my best. But you know, truckers get it rough, I would imagine. You know, and he even I found that he, in one of the articles, it mentioned he had a sleeping bag in his truck, so obviously he tried to get some shut eye in past trips. But maybe this trip, he just something happened and he just couldn't sleep.
Yeah, he just wanted to, you know, keep going. I mean, and I do have a theory as to maybe why that is. Now, I do want to take us back in time a little bit, to talk about 1995 mm-hmm. a little bit. So,
yeah.
And truckers. So I don't know too much about truckers, but I'm going to guess that you do not either. So,
no.
But what I do know about truckers is that for the, they call in a lot on a radio show that's really, at least it used to be really, really popular, called Coast to Coast AM. It's like, oh. And Coast to Coast AM deals with a lot of UFO and paranormal and hauntings. It's like a 3 or 4 hour thing. It's on from like 1 in the morning until like 4 in the morning. You know, and if you listen to it, there's always truckers like calling in, talking about like weird stuff they see on the road or their things. And I have to wonder if Devin listened to it, you know, Coast to Coast. And I don't know why I'm thinking about this outside of the fact that we're going to tie this into the possibility that Devin might have been abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm saying very seriously, because these are things that I take very seriously. And I've always been into like UFOs and paranormal. I know you had a footnote there and you're like, this is going to be a complete rabbit hole. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I've always kind of been into. But he's driving right through, and I can't believe I didn't realize this. I missed it completely, but thankfully your notes pointed it out, that Travis Walton situation, where he saw a UFO. Travis Walton's still with us, by the way. He's still alive. Relatively young guy, 65 years old. And
very young.
Yeah. And his experience happened in 1975. So 20 years, not to the day or anything. His happened November 5th, 1975. But it's just kind of interesting. There's a movie called Fire in the Sky. I recommend it to everyone to go see. It discusses the entire Travis Walton thing. Now, that came out in 1993. So, and it did relatively well. So I have to wonder, everyone's talking about UFOs. This is the same thing. It's 20 years later. It's a good time to bring forward a conspiracy theory, or not even really a conspiracy theory, but a theory in general that he was abducted. But I'm not buying it.
Yeah, it's definitely a possible theory. Absolutely. I mean, that's how, you know, it's just out of the blue his disappearance was. You know, anything could have happened. And yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I mean, I don't know too much about UFOs. I do think there is definitely something out there. I'm way into the paranormal as well. And he would have seen some crazy things on the road. I mean, all truckers probably have at least 100 stories.
We have to do a paranormal episode, right?
We should. I was thinking about that the other day. So I've got my thinking cap on. So there's a few that I think you've discussed it some as well ages ago when I first started listening, when you and Kim were doing it. And I found that very interesting. So I'm going to have to pick one and go from there. So
I still have all of my contacts. So if there's ever, you know, we can always get like a paranormal expert or UFOologist or somebody to come on and talk to us.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of really interesting paranormal things that Unsolved Mysteries touched upon. So yeah, let's definitely, you know, make a side note of that. That'll be a lot of fun to talk about.
Something for the future. Sounds good.
Back to 1995, I guess.
Yes, that's all right. So we're at Sunday morning when the truck was going through the woods at 1,000 miles an hour. No one really knows why.
Use miles per hour. It's like
Did I really? Did I do that?
Yeah, per hour.
Oh, and you're rubbing off on me.
Yeah, because I'll try to say kilometers per hour, but it just doesn't roll off the tongue for me.
Actually, sometimes I do say something that's quite American. Like I said the other day, pounds. I said, I need to go get gas. And I went, I say petrol.
I have to get a few gallons of gas. Yeah.
I said, I have to go get gas. And Dad's like, what? I said, oh, never mind. Petrol. Sorry. Petroleum.
Well, what do you call, how do I put this? Like if you have gas, in your stomach.
Oh, wind.
Wind. Okay. Yes. Yeah. All right. That's kind of a European thing. But yeah, I guess Australian as well.
Why? What do you call it?
Gas.
Oh, actual gas. Okay, right. Gas.
Yes. You know.
Yeah, but, we say either indigestion, which
but,
is
you know, wind like is good. I think wind is quaint. Yeah. It's
or if you really want to put it out there, you could just say I need a fart. But people don't know how to say that. So
people will just go, oh my goodness.
I got gas.
Everyone clutches their pearls. But one thing, how long was it before they actually came across what they found? Because what they ended up finding was his skull.
Let me find my notes. So about 2 years later.
Okay. Yeah, it was a while later then.
Yes. And now, which is, quite a long time. I mean, that would be pretty hard. Obviously, a lot of people go through years and years of not knowing what happened to their loved ones. Mm-hmm. But, 2 years with this sort of disappearance out of the blue is quite strange, and it's quite a long time. But going back to the day that he went, was in the woods, once it was discovered that it was Devon who was missing, his wife, said it was completely out of character.
And she's really crushed still. I mean, she's...
I don't know if she's remarried, but, she kind of goes, we're at the happiest point we're in our marriage. And I didn't mention it in my notes, but I kind of thought it was kind of cute when they said that they were, she mentioned that they were arguing about whether to put...
Yeah, linoleum or carpet in the dining room. Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's just like such a typical husband and wife thing. The kids are having dinner and they're arguing about what to put on the floor. And I'm like,
put hardwood.
So they were just a normal family. Just a normal family.
Yeah. And she has she's got her whole 90s look going. She has dream catcher earrings and stuff.
Did she have a mullet? Because it looked to me like she had a mullet.
I know at least one of the sons did.
Yeah, it was a totally...
There's a lot to digest when you're looking at this family.
And it's gas. Yeah, it is gas.
It's middle America. Yeah. It really is. It's, but they seem like a decent family. And, of course, this is just a blow to their entire family structure.
Yeah, and the dresses that the girls were wearing, I think they were wearing matching dresses in the... I had a dress almost exactly like that when I was about 6.
Oh, no, that's...
I wore it to a wedding. I know, how unfortunate is that?
Yeah, that's sad. But at the same time, they look all sweet, and I'm sure you look sweet. And, but it's just another thing where it's just so sad.
Yeah.
Because they would ask. They would say, is he coming home? And
and she was like, I hope so. But, and then when she said, if he's not coming home, he's probably up with God. And I was like, oh, that's so sad. Like, you want so bad for him to be alive, like so bad.
And then they found his skull, unfortunately. See, what I think, this is exactly what I think happened. I have theories of what led up to this, but I think that he was attacked by an animal. He collapsed from dehydration. Perhaps he was going through a diabetic situation and he died. It was not, we found out that it was not cold enough to die. I don't think you can die in 50-degree weather.
It was interesting because one of the detectives, Bruce Cornish, which is the case in most missing persons cases, like I said before, there's factors in a person's life, criminal history, drug problems, mental illness, whatever, that can help explain why the person disappeared. But there was no evidence of any of those factors in Devon's case. They obviously would have interviewed the wife. They would have interviewed the friends. They would have interviewed the boss and his co-workers, other relatives.
Yeah.
And nothing was resolved. There's several theories, which we'll get into in a minute.
And it's not like they can have a body to test. At this point, we have the skull. And aside from doing the, checking the dental records, we really cannot test what was in his system.
Now, I have to say, I was actually wrong, because when I first saw the segment, for some reason, when I did the update, for some reason, I didn't realize that they only just found the skull. I thought that they had found most of the body. So that was me being wrong there. Obviously, it was when I researched, I went, oh, they only found the skull. That was a big shock to me. So So, yeah, going on that, it was May 2nd, 1997 when hikers found it. But they actually found it at the bottom of a cliff, which was not mentioned, I don't think, in the segment.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, how do you think that would happen? I mean, I guess... But if it was thrown off a cliff, wouldn't it have broken? I mean, I'm not not trying to be gross or anything, but if you throw a skull off of a cliff, I would imagine when it hits, unless it's going right into water, it would crush.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's just several unanswered questions. But, you know, they said that dental records confirmed from the skull that it was Devin Williams. There was no evidence of trauma to the skull, so like no bullet holes.
Right. Or anything. That's so crazy.
But, I mean, you could be right. Whether he was attacked by an animal or not, his other remains could have been taken away. But then why leave the skull? It's just, you know, sometimes if they had said it was a skull and a shin bone and a couple of other fragments or an arm and a skull, you thought, okay.
But, you know, we're missing clothing. We're missing maybe a wallet. Maybe the money that he had on him. He wasn't wearing shoes. So we know that those are unaccounted for. Well, or maybe they are accounted for. Like, he wasn't wearing them.
Mm.
No socks, right? So strange.
Oh, and we will mention, obviously, before that the foot patrols and canine searches and rescue teams in those 2 years before Devin's skull was found, you know, they did obviously do quite a wide search where the witnesses had seen him. I don't know how wide, but I would assume it would have been a lot of the forest or the woods. But, you know, they produced nothing. Hunters and hikers, which would have gone in the same area where his skull was eventually found. It's just so strange. I never found anything. And they searched for maybe 3 weeks. No, not even 3 weeks. Sorry. I'm completely wrong.
What would you do if you're hiking?
1.5 weeks.
So you're hiking. You come across a skull. What is your first reaction? I mean, of course, before you report it, I mean, like, are you like poking it with a stick or something? I don't know.
So when I was young, I had this friend who had this like 17 acres of land, and we used to go just, you know, foraging and just like running around all these like fields and stuff. And one day I did find a skull. It wasn't a human skull.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually freaked me out. At first, I thought it really was a human skull because I was interested in true crime back then. And my first thing would be like, wow, a skull.
Right.
Oh, my God, whose skull is that? Like, it would be...
Call Robert Stack immediately.
Yes. Channel him from the afterlife, speaking of paranormal. But, no, obviously, back then, if it was the 90s, I'd obviously go and tell my parents because I would have been a kid. They would have believed me because I was so trustworthy back then. Still am, by the way. But nowadays, if I found a skull or a body, which for some reason, every time I go for a walk, I always have this picture of me finding one, which creeps me out. I think I watch too much true crime, to be honest. But I would literally get out my mobile phone, and call police and say, you know, I'm right here. What have I found? But obviously back then there was no, you know, cell phones unless you were a billionaire. So...
Hey, I just thought of something. You know, at the end of each episode of Unsolved Mysteries or during it, they give a phone number to call?
Yeah, what is it? 1-800-76... Oh, I can't remember it. I should know it.
Should I call it? Oh. Do you want to see what's there?
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, if you know it. I mean, I don't want to call it.
Oh, my God, what is it? 1-800-765-565? Let me just... Hang on. Hang on, I'm going to look this up.
We're going to do this live on the show, people.
All right. Let's have a look.
I'm going to look.
Oh, here we go. It is, okay, so it's 1-800.
Hold on, 1-800.
876.
Okay.
5353.
All right, we're calling.
Because he goes, call 1-800-876-5355.
No routes found.
No routes found.
The number you have dialed is busy. Please try your call later.
Huh. All right. Well, that's what you get.
They were busy. They were going to call about Devin Williams. I know it.
Yeah. So that's 1-800-876-5353.
Yes, because I remember Robert Stack goes, if you could help solve a mystery... Call 1-800-876-5355. 5353.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, that is cool. But I wonder if there's, hang on, I'm looking at the new, I reckon there's a new one. Have you seen the new Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix? I think we've discussed this,
sure,
actually.
Sure, yeah.
What do you think?
Aside from the overuse of drone footage, which everyone's like, oh, they're rolling enough with the drone footage, Mark. I think it's a solid true crime show that has nothing to do with Unsolved Mysteries as a franchise. But it's a hell of a production. I mean, it's one of the best.
What I
a little slow. Find,
yes, what I've struggled with, I like it. I've seen pretty much all the episodes. They're very interesting. What I'm not used to, because I watch so much old Unsolved Mysteries, is that there's no narrative.
Right, there's no... There's no host.
Yes. And I don't know why, but I, when it's a mixture of interviews from people, eyewitnesses, and narrative, I can follow it a whole lot better. I don't get that bored. But when it comes to ones where it is just eyewitness, not saying they're not valid at all, because it is interesting. I have trouble following it as well as the others. But that could be because I'm used to watching, you know, Crime Investigation Australia, Forensic Files, Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack and Dennis Farina, you know, those sorts of things. So, you know, that's just my opinion. But, yeah, very good production value for 2020 and 2021. So, yeah, I think it's very clever.
Yeah, I agree with you. I liked it. I think that it's a solid effort. Now, I do want to just give a number out that we have. I don't know how you feel about this. Because we didn't discuss it, but if you're in the continental U.S. or even if you're international, you can call 516-308-2397 and leave us a message. And that's like our little hotline.
Really?
Yeah. So if somebody wants to just kind of say, hey, you guys suck, they can go do that. They can leave it on there. Or if they have an idea for a future episode or a segment that they'd like to request, we might even play it on the air.
I'm going to do a shout out to my cousin Sarah. She listens to every single one I do. She's one of my biggest fans.
Hey, Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
She is fab. She is an ab fab girl. Everyone loves her. Sarah, you can call that number or you can just message me, but give
us
an idea
States?
For her. No, she's not.
Oh.
I think she probably wishes she was, and we'd all love to do a holiday right now. But
be cheaper just to record something and email it.
Yeah. You know, and I've actually got a friend. Called Mikey. Again, shout out to my friend Mikey, who lives in Manchester, who listens.
Hey, Mikey.
So, yeah. So if he's got an idea for a case too, he can call that number and let us know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Once again, that number is 516-308-2397. But yeah, if you're outside of the United States or even local Nassau County, like New York area, there might be, you know, fees associated to calling that number.
Yeah.
Well, so awesome. Or you can email. Sorry. You can email us at mark@stillunsolved.com. Or I think we should have a Laura at stillunsolved.com if you want another email.
That would be awesome. I should set that up.
I need to set it up, and I'll set it up in the next 24 hours.
Yay! I feel special now. Thank you so much.
So yeah, definitely. So it's going to be, if you want it to be, Laura at stillunsolved.com.
Perfect. Sounds amazing. Cheers for that.
It's like, now back to the show.
Yes. Sorry. We went down a rabbit hole but still sort of valid. Okay. So
the theories section, I guess. Like, what happened?
Yeah. So the first one, I mean, I didn't really put them in order of likelihood. I just kind of put them in randomly.
Sure.
But the first one, which we sort of discussed before, was the UFO abduction. Some suggested, and he actually said in the segment, half jokingly, that it seemed as though he was abducted by a UFO. But, you know, it is strange that with all that searching, now they only searched for about a week. It wasn't 3 weeks like I thought, so that was my fault. About a week, you know, they could have missed something, but it was just strange that nothing was found, no item of clothing,
but I'm
no
telling
ID.
Him, if the animal has the body hidden somewhere, and it just kind of carries it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine seeing? I mean, it's grotesque to imagine this, but can you imagine like a mountain lion walking with like a head in its mouth? The visual there?
Well, yes, because I once saw my golden retriever have a pig's head in his mouth. He was very proud.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, someone had had a spit and threw the head over the fence.
Oh, my God.
And my golden retriever came down with a green pig's head. He was very pleased.
At least he didn't, you know, kill the animal.
No, I would have been even more shocked if that was the case. But I think the green pig's head was enough to make me puke, yeah.
That's crazy. But, the little snout.
But what kind of, I mean, I'm not very familiar with, obviously, animals in the woods. Are there bears? Are there would be wolves?
Yeah, you know, we'd have to see what animals are local to the Arizona forest or Arizona area. But I'm going to guess there were mountain lions. Could be coyotes. Sure.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of wild animals that could easily attack Devin and kill
him. Those damn squirrels. I told you about those squirrels.
I don't think the squirrels are the problem. All they want to do is eat nuts. But yeah, a lot of people tend to say, well, look, the guy does not have the figure of a marathon runner. You know, he's a bit overweight. He doesn't look, you know, like a picture of health. So what if it's undiagnosed diabetes and he had some type of break? Because you looked into it. And what is it? Hypoglycemia?
Yeah. So basically, it's also known as basic low blood sugar. So there's a lot of symptoms with that, you know, including like delusion and dizziness and basically feeling unwell. And I guess that may be combined with sleep deprivation, maybe some stress we don't know about. It could be that. I mean,
but this is like a mental break to me. The way it's described is not like low blood sugar. This is your complete break from reality.
I mean, it wasn't confirmed. Like, we don't know. I could not find any. Obviously, that would be sort of like private information, unless the police chose to say it. But he wasn't known to have, as far as I know, to be a diabetic. But he could have actually had it and not been diagnosed. I guess if they do drug tests, wouldn't they make them have physicals as well?
But it also depends on what type of drugs that they're testing for. And that's kind of what I was getting into a little bit, because let's say maybe it was drugs. But you know what? Before we go on, I'm sorry. Yeah, like he would probably have to have some physical. But you're a trucker. He has a trucker body. You sit down for the majority of your job,
and you eat fast food, and you don't sleep, and all that stuff. Yeah,
dream come true. It sounds. I mean, you've sold me, and even get the like horn thing.
Minus the drugs.
Yeah,
This is a bit far-fetched, but again, we don't know, because he obviously didn't have an autopsy because they didn't find most of his body. But did he have an undetected brain tumor? Did he have a mini stroke, or did he have another condition that was undiagnosed that suddenly began to impact him? And you put it could possibly be a mixture of things, which is absolutely right.
Yeah,
maybe it was something like that, because I know that brain tumors have led people to do and behave completely different. I mean, this is not an excuse, but there was that, I can't remember his name. I know I can. Charles Whitman. He was the sniper on top of the one of the towers. I can't remember exactly, but he shot and killed a few people. And when he was a sniper, and when he was shot and killed by officers, his brain was like studied.
That's right. He had some type of undiagnosed
He had a pecan-sized tumor.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
I have seen a Law and Order episode where a lady or teacher became a pedophile because she had a massive tumor. Once the tumor was removed, she no longer had those pedophilic feelings. So
it's
very interesting. I guess it would be like a blow to the head.
It's possible, but I think that there are easier solutions that tend to attack character a little bit. So what I'm saying, these are all theories. We don't know, but one of the things that I kind of found when I was reading about the top three most drugs used by truckers, even though this drug did not pop into the top three, PCP was on it. A small percentage of truckers who were testing positive for PCP. PCP is angel dust.
And I was about to ask what it was.
Yeah. And it's possible he smoked angel dust, and the way he acted was very much in the way somebody would act when they're high on angel dust.
I mean, you know, because he mentioned that he couldn't get any sleep, it would seem to me like he was complaining, almost like he wanted to go to sleep, but then that could have been just, he could have thought, well, stuff that, I'm going to try and stay awake. And then maybe another trucker came up to him and said, hey, buddy, this is what I used to stay awake. He was that desperate that he thought, well, I'll give it a go. Never like being amphetamine. On drugs
before. You take an amphetamine and you're up.
It's literally an upper. Maybe he didn't realize what he was taking. Maybe he just had a really bad reaction to it. There are people that, for whatever reason, maybe he was on other medications, or maybe he's just something in his body just didn't go right, and he just had this even worse reaction to the point where it made him paranoid, like, you know, mm-hmm. and delusional. So there is that. Or another one of my theories was, now this is a little bit more far-fetched, was, you know how you said that truckers get hijacked?
Yeah.
So speaking of drugs, from the drug angle, he could have been given something, like drugged without him knowing it, and maybe he went to a diner for a cup of coffee and some people saw him in the truck and thought, this is our opportunity. He's got stuff in the truck, money or whatever.
And then they realize it's a bunch of strawberries.
Yeah. Oh, yes. They must love strawberries.
See, that's the thing. It's, you know, maybe, you know, that's possible. Let's say he actually did get hijacked, right? And then they realize that we just hijacked a truck full of strawberries.
Yeah, it would have backfired on them for sure. He had $20 on him. So they obviously didn't get money from him.
Mm-hmm.
But still going without the drug angle, but the drug angle makes a lot of sense. He could have just been attacked. Like, he could have been walking to his truck after the cup of coffee. He could have been smacked on the head and taken in as a hostage in the, you know, been made to drive somewhere, and the knock on the head made him very dazed and confused. He might have had a concussion. Once they realized again that they weren't going to get anything from him, they abandoned him in the truck. Him in his dazed state acted the way he did. Then he could have walked around for a while.
My question is this. This is where this kind of falls apart to me. Where did they go?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, maybe they abandoned him before the woods. Maybe he just thought he was on a highway and he was that disorientated that he just headed for the woods after they left him. I mean, he could have walked around the woods for a couple of days, went to go to sleep because he was so tired. Now, you're not supposed to sleep with a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have either died where he was, or he could have stumbled and fallen off the cliff and died there.
Totally possible.
So there is that as well. I mean, I think sleep deprivation had a big part, whether he was on drugs or he got slipped to drug, whether he was hit on the head, whether he had another episode. I think that mixed with the sleep deprivation, because we have proof that he said he couldn't sleep, and truckers have problems sleeping. I would assume their body clock would be so out of whack.
He could have, and my other theory is that it's possible he had a bipolar episode. Sometimes people become bipolar out of nowhere, and it's possible.
True. They could develop, especially in their late 20s or their mid 20s, you can develop some sort of like schizophrenia or a bipolar.
Yeah.
But I think that is, I mean, I don't really know too much about it, so forgive my ignorance, but I think that it does develop over a bit of time. Like, maybe there's a few previous incidents that would have shown that he's perhaps getting a bit unstable,
but no one
reported anything.
The experience I have is that I had a friend who was bipolar, and he did get worse. And the problem with people with bipolar is when they're on medication, they feel fine. So they think they can get off the medication. Then they stop taking it, and the next thing you know, they're kicking in walls in a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, it could be the fact that it could have been some sort of mental illness that was coming. Again, maybe a hit in the head or something would have provoked it, or maybe, again, it was just stress. We don't know what other stress was going on in his life. He could have had some financial problems.
I'm sure maybe, he did, you know. They just bought a house, his wife said.
Yeah, they just bought a house. They've got three children. You know, they're I don't know. They could have been financially fine. I'm just speculating here. I don't know for sure. But, you know, he could have had other stresses in his, or maybe he was unhappy mm-hmm. with his job or unhappy in some ways. But, it was reported that he was quite a family man. So some people even speculated that he had abandoned his life and wanted to start anew.
People always say this, but it's, yes. I don't know. Has it ever been true? Where somebody abandons their life.
I disregard that theory because I think to myself, he must have been an incredible actor to sit there with a $20 bill and a rock trying to start a fire in front of all these witnesses. He deserves an Oscar.
Why bother? Why bother going through all of this rigmarole when it's so much easier to just leave?
Yeah, and there was no evidence that he had a mistress. There was no evidence that he wanted to leave his family. I mean, we even have a lady who helped him when he picked up loads in California. And she mentioned even in the segment that he was only ever irritated when he had to wait for his load because he wanted to get back to his family.
Right.
He just, wanted to go home.
And also we did find his skull.
Exactly. Yeah. The next thing I was going to say, he obviously didn't unfortunately make it home, which is super sad. Now, another thing I did, which you put in here, which I'm glad you did, was the exposure theory. He eventually, passed away from, I don't know whether it gets really cold at night, but it was May, which is here in Australia getting a little chilly, but for you, it'd be warming up.
But here, May 28th last year, if you go to darksky.net, it's actually a business that Apple owns now, and it's a weather website, and you can put in, any zip code. But Dark Sky is phenomenal, and it has a thing where you can look up the history of weather. Mm-hmm. And, so last year, it doesn't go as far back as 1990, the 90s, but I'm able to go back, let's say, just last year on an average, and the coldest it got is 50 degrees Fahrenheit or 10 degrees Celsius. So it might be a little chilly, but you're not dying in that weather.
Yeah, and he was a stocky man, so he probably had some meat on his bones to keep him warm. I'm just saying.
But you can definitely die from lack of water. You can die from an animal attack. There's a number of things that can still happen.
What animals did you research? What animals were?
No, not at all.
No.
I'm sorry. But again, real quickly.
No, that's okay. But I think you're right. I reckon it could have been like a coyote or a pack of wolves, I guess. Whatever you guys have got there.
I mean, it all depends on what part of the country you're in. I mean, upstate New York, we have bears, black bears, and mountain lions.
We have swooping magpies. I mean, they're killer.
Oof. They scratch your eyes right out.
Drop koalas, drop bears.
All right, so I'm looking it up right now, which is, let's see, common animals found on the Tonto. Mountain lion, black bear, mm-hmm. mule deer, elk, white-tailed deer, bobcats. There's numerous snake species, eagles. There's a lot of really big animals. So let's just say a mountain lion, a black bear, or a bobcat. These are animals that could kill you and attack you and use you as prey.
What's a bobcat?
I think a bobcat is like a... isn't it like a really big cat? Like a huge...
Like a tiger?
I think so. I'm gonna find it right now.
What's going on in your country?
Well, they don't swoop at you, though. That's the only thing. Let's see. I'm just looking at bobcat size. I mean, they're pretty big. They can be up to 40 pounds.
Oh, jeez.
The length is about 50 inches long, which... it's pretty big. That's the size of a dog.
Right.
Like a big dog. So, and they're known as being very aggressive.
Maybe he literally just wandered off and, got attacked by them.
If you attempt to touch them, they may become aggressive.
Yeah. And, the fact that it's only a skull was found, animals can drag bones and, body parts away, far away. So again, we don't know how big the search was. They only searched for a week. There's only so much they can do in a week. And then of course the hikers found his skull and his skull alone. Now, one sort of, I don't know whether I would say it's the most possible or the most likely, because we don't really know, like I said before, about the condition of the truck, apart from it was okay, but we don't know if there was something that they didn't tell us. But the carbon monoxide poisoning theory was interesting.
I thought this was interesting. Yeah, I could see this being somewhat plausible.
Yes, because I remember the case of Dan Wilson. So this is another.
I'm posting a photo right under your heading of carbon monoxide, just so you can get an idea of the size of the bobcat.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't want that coming towards me.
No, none of them. Not even the little one.
No. Well, I have a little one on my bed right now.
But your little one is pretty big, right? I mean.
My little one's a meter long. Say hi, Leela. No, she's not saying hi. She said meow. No, she didn't. Anyway, I don't think she's got the killer instinct, except maybe with mice, but that's about it. Anyway.
And swooping magpies.
But, yeah, I know she needs to get on that. But it reminded, the carbon monoxide angle reminded me of the case of Dan Wilson. Now, this was a proved case of carbon monoxide poisoning because the car itself was taken to a mechanic and was proven to have a severe leak. So basically, long story short, he was a man that went to drive mm-hmm. on a long drive to see his family. He ended up basically abandoning his car, and his remains were found elsewhere a couple of years later or something, similar to Devin Williams. I don't think anybody witnessed his behavior right beforehand, but they did mention that he, you know, was acting a little bit strange a bit beforehand, and they learned that the car had actually had a long-term leak, and it was found by his, I think, his mum and his sister, who went to go get the car examined, and it had a really bad leak. So we don't know if the truck, you know, just because the leak isn't seen doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think that the way he was acting was really just way out there.
I mean, the symptoms include confusion, dizziness, blurred vision, loss of consciousness. It can be particularly dangerous for people who are sleeping or intoxicated, which, again, we don't know if he was on some sort of drug. He obviously wasn't sleeping. Mm-hmm. But people may even have irreversible brain damage or even die before anyone realizes that it's actually a problem. But we don't know if we could ever prove this because, obviously, he was skeletonized, only his skull was found.
Not even skeletonized. We have no skeleton. Yeah,
exactly, just the skull. So you assume the rest of him is not living, because it would be a miracle. But, yeah, just because you don't smell exhaust doesn't mean there's not a leak. So I would have liked to have known if the truck was examined. I assume that maybe when it was tow trucked out of there, his boss, Tom Wilson, maybe got it checked out and it was all cleared, maybe, which is why it wasn't mentioned. But, yeah, I just think, I don't know. I just think sleep deprivation had a big part of it. I'm not really sure on anything else, but, you know.
You know, one thing that I couldn't find, I kind of searched for a while and I kind of gave up on it, was whether they had to have buried the skull. They had to have returned the skull to the wife, right? And had it properly buried.
I thought that there was I don't know, I could be wrong, but when I saw a 9/11 documentary about the fact they were finding remains of people mm-hmm. years after the fact, as late as 2015, 2016, where I don't know if it's certain states or maybe it's a different country, I'm not sure, but there was one family who couldn't bury the bones. There was only a couple. Apparently there needs to be at least 5 bones or something before you're allowed to bury them.
Really? I wonder if, like, cremation is, you know, allowed.
Well, I don't know. I mean, then again, it could have been England. I'm not sure, but I remember there was one family that got 3 bones, and it was definitely positively identified as their brother or son. They had like a memorial for him, and they wanted to bury the bones, but the government wouldn't release them.
That's really interesting.
So I don't know if maybe, I mean, this is back in the 90s, maybe they did get the skull when they realized there's no damage to it, they can't prove anything else, and they want closure. But maybe they kept it for evidence. I mean, I don't know why you would.
Do you think this poor guy's skull is sitting on a shelf somewhere?
I really, really hope not, because if I was in that situation and I was a family member, I'd want to bury something.
Or have it cremated. You know, like, I think cremating it would just, for me anyway, I'm very pro cremation, but you want some level of closure.
Oh, I just looked him up. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I just looked him up on Find a Grave, and it looks like he was in the army.
Oh, interesting.
So it's PFC US Army Panama. It looks like, yeah, it's not a two, it's just like a little plaque by the looks of it. Devin Eugene Williams.
But is that just a grave marker, I wonder? Like, is it, is there anything there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, if there was something there, it'd just be the skull or the remains of the skull, but as in the ashes. But
if anyone knows.
He's buried. Yeah, he's buried in the Americas Cemetery in Kansas. So obviously, where he was living.
If anyone knows, the number again 516-308-2397.
Yeah, let us know. That would be really, really interesting. But yeah. So one little extra notes that I kind of, I don't know, I just put them in there because I sometimes find them interesting. Some sources say that his name was incorrectly spelled. They spell it wrong. It's spelt D-E-V-I-N, but some people spell it D-E-V-O-N. I have a friend called Devin who is spelt D-E-V-O-N, and they state that he's actually 28 years old. And this case isn't to be confused with Dan Wilson or Dale Williams, another case of a missing man, which is another story. Now, when I went on Sitcoms Online, I did find a... Again, we don't know how accurate this is, if this really is her, but Devin's youngest daughter, I guess that's called Sarah or Sierra Williams.
Yes, Sierra. Sierra,
great. Williams commented on a post made, okay, so it was on the Unsolved Mysteries website in 2017. It was a comment made initially by the actor who played Devin in the Unsolved Mysteries episode, and the daughter replied to it saying, you know, you did a really good job playing our dad. It's still horrible not to know what happened to our dad, and rumors that he just left us or was on drugs really sucked growing up, but that's life. I'm his youngest daughter.
Wow.
And there was, funny enough, no response saying how are you, any other questions about it. And I did try to find her and Devin's wife, yeah, Mary Lou, on Facebook.
It's
but
a little
no,
too like, common of a name. I mean, Williams, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the daughter's married and maybe she took a different surname, or if she's not, I don't know, maybe she just put her middle name on there. Sometimes they do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I couldn't find them. And I looked hard, but couldn't find them.
Yeah, it's a shame that we don't know exactly what happened. And I do hope that the family did get the skull to bury or cremate.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's not the full story of what happened, but you know, it's something. At least they've got closure. At least they found him. I think maybe it might be worse if they didn't know that it was, you know, where whatever happened to him. But it's just the story of how he got from his truck leaving his home to his skull being found at the edge of a cliff.
And how did they get that truck out of there? I guess they probably had to drive it out.
Yeah, there's so many unanswered questions, just little things that I wish they'd included in the segment or that I could find online. But there wasn't as much information as what I actually thought there would be.
Yeah, we always say that, it's a simple story. But, you know, there's always so much to talk about.
Yeah, but no, I hope that, his family's doing well and that they've been able to get on with their lives in some way and keep his memory alive. And I hope they're doing well, and may Devin rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the family is listening to this, you know, please feel free to reach out to us. It's Laura@stillunsolved.com or Mark, M-A-R-K, @stillunsolved.com. Or again, the phone number, which is 516-308-2397.
We should totally start posting that everywhere.
It's our hotline.
It's our hotline. Unsolved Mysteries Hotline.
I put it out there once and I was getting prank calls or just hang ups, I didn't really push it any further. But, you know, maybe we can turn it back into the idea of a segment.
Yeah, maybe.
But Laura, thank you so much for all the work that you put into this and every other episode. I love talking about these cases with you.
Yeah, me too. Not a problem. I love doing it. It's very interesting. Keeps me busy.
Yeah, and you're already working on, three other cases, four other cases or something.
So. Yes, and I do. I mean, I'm very excited for all of them, but I'm very extra super excited for
Snowtown.
Yes, so, yeah.
Yeah, dun, Snowtown. Dun, dun. I have to get my head to wrap around all of Snowtown. There's a lot there.
I told you, it took me so long and I was so exhausted by the end. I'm thinking there is so many names and things going through my head. And yeah, we definitely have to do a trigger warning before that one, because
yeah, there's a lot of disturbing visuals that we're going to be discussing in detail.
Yeah, from my own little hometown. How scary is that? Guys, run away.
Is that Adelaide?
Yes, Adelaide.
Adelaide, Australia.
Yes.
Tonight, we have been confronted with an entire catalog of unexplained and unsolved events. Tune in next time as Unsolved Mysteries Rewind discusses another collection of unsolved mysteries. Until then, we can only look and wonder.